Trotz allem, das politische Journal.
Zu unserer heutigen Folge von Trotz allem begrüßt euch Jutta Matesek.
My name is Darina. I am a communication officer in Greenpeace Ukraine, Ukrainian Kyiv citizen.
You work for Greenpeace in a country which is constantly under war at the moment. How is the working situation for you?
It's complicated because war has impact, sure, and Kyiv is constantly under the shellings. I think that almost every night we hear drones attacks, missiles attacks, and it makes life difficult, especially during the night, because during the day we don't hear a lot of explosions, but at night when we go to sleep it's always very loud. That's why very often our team is very sleepy. A few times per week, I assume. Also, we hear air alarms, but for us it's like a typical sound of our native city right now, after 3 years of the war. Yeah, I know it can sound very weird, yeah, but it is a normal life, and we have to build our life around these circumstances, because we want to live in our city, we want to live in Kyiv, we want to develop Greenpeace Ukraine in our country. It is our country, and despite of it, we always are like very inspiring to work. And every day for our team is a wonder, because we have a possibility and opportunity to do the impact, to make green projects, to make changes in Ukrainian society, make campaigns. What I see that it doesn't matter, like despite all these circumstances, people are open for changes, for knowledge, we want to use this moment. Yeah.
The office in Ukraine from Greenpeace, it was opened in the past, in the Chernobyl times, when this reactor accident was?
It was in the late 18s, after the Chernobyl disaster, and in the early 19s. If I'm not mistaken, the office was closed in the middle of 19s. Now we say that it is a new era of Greenpeace Ukraine, again like a response of a big crisis. It's like the second breeze of Greenpeace Ukraine now.
The opening of the office, it was under special circumstances?
Yes, we had a lot of guests from international offices. For us, it was an honor to meet them in Kyiv. The office opening event, it was not like a celebration, because we cannot now like celebrate. It is not correct during the war. But we made an event, the official office opening in the shelter in the center of Kyiv. Thanks God we didn't have air alarms in that time, so we had the possibility to spend this time normally with the nice and inspiring speeches, with the nice dinner together. We invited people who were like the owners, inspirational persons of the Green Reconstruction of Ukraine project, first of all. There were foreigners from Bulgaria, from Austria, from Germany, our team leaders at that moment, and our colleagues from different parts of the world, from Scotland, from Belgium, again from Germany, from Slovakia. I don't remember all our friends around the world. We had a special guest, Mads Christensen. He's executive director of Greenpeace. And it was a surprise for me that in the late evening he told me that it is his birthday. So he spent his birthday in Kyiv with us in the office opening event. So for us, it was like very big honor. Our guests, they met these hard circumstances too, because the air alarms were in the night and some drone attacks from Russia, and they were sleepy but very happy, and they liked Kyiv a lot. And time to time, some of our colleagues, they are coming back because they continued their job and projects in Ukraine. And more of like some of colleagues, they promised me to come back because they really are inspired with Kyiv energy. We all in Kyiv and in Greenpeace Ukraine, and because Greenpeace Ukraine, it is not only about Ukrainian colleagues, we have up to 10, but it's about our foreign colleagues who also are the part of Greenpeace Ukraine. For them, it was important to feel the rhythm of our life, of our job, of our days, and they wanted to come back to spend like more time in Kyiv with us.
Mm-hmm. To make environmental protection under a war situation, is this possible? I mean, aren't people more interested in the manage the daily life than to environmental issues?
Now, after the full-scale invasion, I see that people are more interested in environmental issues. Why? Because after destruction of our nature by Russians, after this very big disaster with Kakhovka Dam, people realized how nature important is. And we, for example, Kakhovka Dam, it is like a Zaporizhia region, and people here now, they don't have access for the normal water. They like lose the river, big river, big sea. They say that it was like a Kakhovka Sea that helped them a lot. And they started to realize how important it was for them, yeah? There was a disaster of Russian tanker in Kerch part in the sea. It was a big tragic impact for biodiversity in the sea, in the Black Sea, in Azov Sea. Many animals, fishes, they died because of that. And when people saw the consequences of that, like, you can read it, for example, about such problems in other parts of the world. Yes, it's always pity, but when you see it in your land, mm-hmm. you realize it more, how important it is to care about this. That's why we see, especially from Ukrainians, from people of south regions, that they do care about nature and about environment, and they are open for the knowledge, because our colleagues, they travel in to these municipalities closer to the front line, and they provide a huge work telling how to take care in a case of nuclear disaster, telling how important is to care about environment. And they see and they feel the feedback. People are ready to spend a lot of hours with Greenpeace listening these stories, because first of all, we are like source of information, and when people have the source of information from the organization that they respect, it has like a magical impact for them.
In the situation when Chernobyl nuclear reactor discontainment was hit by a drone, what did Greenpeace do?
In that moment, We were lucky, I say, because our nuclear campaigners, Sean Burney from Greenpeace Ukraine now, and Jan van de Putte again from Greenpeace Ukraine now, but they are from Belgium and from Scotland. They were in Kyiv in that time. And they looked for the first opportunity to come to Chernobyl, and they went to Chernobyl together with investigation, in close cooperation with Ukraine, with the Chernobyl scientists. They started to shoot and document this war crime. It was very important, this documentation for the future, especially document, make the analysis. What is the situation with radiation safety? What is the situation? What can be the development after this drone attack? Because the confinement has a wound, yeah, but it is just a first step. It can be like a corrosion, and it's a really a challenge for future radiation safety. Because I will remind that this confinement is staying under this fourth reactor. Fourth reactor that with what it was the disaster in 1986. So we always are following now the situation. Our nuclear campaigner Jan van de Putte, he is now in Kyiv, and next week he expects to come to Chernobyl again. We have a long story with Chernobyl, because Greenpeace was invited by Ukrainian government first time in 2022 to monitor nuclear safety in Chernobyl. So we have close cooperation with scientists, and I am proud that Greenpeace senior nuclear campaigners, they do appreciate what Ukrainian scientists are doing, and it is like exchange. They give their knowledge, Ukrainian scientists, Greenpeace scientists, they give their knowledge. And thanks to this, we really have now a nice situation with radiation monitoring, and with understanding. We always try to alarm if something can go wrong. And we see the reaction. It is the biggest goal, to alarm if something can go wrong. Thank you.
There is another even bigger nuclear power plant, which is a big threat.
Yes, Zaporizhia nuclear power plant. Zaporizhia nuclear power plant, the biggest nuclear power plant in Europe. It is a very big machine. And it was occupied by Russians in the beginning of March 2022. And since that time, the plant is under the occupation. I always compare the situation with Chernobyl nuclear power plant in Zaporizhia nuclear power plant, because in these two cases, there is a lie. In 1986, it was a lie from Soviet government about what's going on. They convinced the world, Ukrainians, that everything is okay with Chernobyl. There is no radiation risks. There are no radiation risks. And I remember that my parents, they had long walks in Kyiv, didn't expect that they can catch radiation, yeah? And now the same situation with Zaporizhia nuclear power plant. Russians are always lying about what's going on here. After they occupied Zaporizhia nuclear power plant, they started to get to captivity Ukrainian personnel of the station. They wanted them to work for Russians, but Ukrainian personnel said that no, we won't do this. Just leave us, leave the. This is a huge nuclear power plant. What are you doing? It is not like a city. It is a big, huge nuclear machine. And after that, some part of Ukrainian personnel, they had a chance to run to the free Ukrainian territory. Some of them are still in captivity for 3 years. And now some of them are killed also. And Greenpeace again participated in a big report of international organizations through hounds. Sean Burney wrote about the violations of human rights in Zaporizhia nuclear power plant, and about the situation with nuclear safety. So now, since that time, Russians are leading in Zaporizhia nuclear power plant. And every nuclear power plant, it is a unique enterprise with unique technologies, exclusive technologies. And only people who were developing this station since the beginning or since the beginning of their professional career, they only know how to deal with this. What to do, how to maintain the safety, how to maintain in general this nuclear power plant, how to carry about this huge machine. It is what I learned from our campaigners, that Russians, they have their own experience in their own nuclear power plants, and this experience cannot be relevant for Zaporizhia nuclear power plant, for other nuclear power plants. Their experience is relevant only for Russian enterprises. So, after 3 years of the occupation, we are not confident in the professionalism of the personnel. We are not confident about technologies. Is everything okay? Because technologies should always be modernized in nuclear power plant. And modernized with special details from special enterprises in the world. It's like a jewelry work, yeah? And the technical situation is not we don't know what's going on here. EIA missions, they have access only for few parts of Zaporizhia nuclear power plant. They see maybe 30% of what's going on. Mm-hmm. They don't have a huge picture what's going on in Zaporizhia nuclear power plant. The biggest problem is that after the destruction of Kakhovka Dam, there is a lack of water to maintain cooling pond and cooling of the fuel in the reactors. So we know now that Russian, the director of Russian criminal organization Rosatom, who are like one of the occupants of Zaporizhzhia nuclear power plant, they started to build the pump station. But again, we don't know anything about this project. We don't know, do they understand really how much water needs Zaporizhzhia nuclear power plant? Because Ukrainian professionals, they knew it. And Russians, we are not sure. So our campaigners, they alarm into the world that situation in Zaporizhzhia nuclear power plant is very bad. And Russians, they want to restart Zaporizhzhia nuclear power plant. We have the proofs. They build now the grid for that. And they stated that they started the building, the construction of pump station. And we don't know what result can be when they, like, I don't know, push the button or turn the buttons, yes, because what our nuclear campaigners say that it can be very big nuclear accident, and there are things that it can be in a level with Fukushima or Chernobyl, because again, situation in Zaporizhzhia nuclear power plant, it is a huge secret. So
there's a lot of reactors there.
6 reactors.
So yeah. Even bigger than Chernobyl.
Yes, it is the biggest nuclear power plant in Europe. It's bigger than Chernobyl, yeah. And they want to restart 1 or 2 reactors, but it can be enough for the nuclear accident.
Wow.
Yeah, bad, but it is like a permanent threat. But we have to pay attention, and what is our goal now is to alarm to the world, to the EIA, to the Rafael Grossi, that please open your eyes. We don't have to help and maintain like Russian plans to be realized. Yesterday in Vienna, in the IEA, 47 or 48 countries, they stated that there should be no restart of Zaporizhzhia nuclear power plant. So the big international work is ongoing, and I hope that it can do the pressure for Russians to do not do this crime. Because Zaporizhzhia nuclear power plant, it's Ukrainian power plant. If they want to restart it, it is the violation of international law, of international agreement about nuclear energy, nuclear safety. It's impossible. And because only Ukrainian personnel can do something here, because they know what to do, and we are not sure that Russians know what to do.
Are there some more nuclear power plants in Ukraine?
Yes, few of them. Chernobyl, Zaporizhzhia, we said. Pivdenno-Ukrainska nuclear power plant, it is in the south region. Rivnin, in Rivne and in Khmelnytsky, they are like more western region nuclear power plants. So it's 5, yeah, if I'm not mistaken. Chernobyl, Zaporizhzhia, Pivdenno-Ukrainska, Rivnenska and Khmelnytska nuclear power plant. And what is the biggest cynism from Russians? Because I think that you heard about the energy crisis in Ukraine, and that Russians, they attacked Ukrainian energy, and especially why we believe that we can stop the restart of Zaporizhzhia nuclear power plant, because in autumn we alarmed to the whole world that Russians, they tried to destroy Ukrainian substations who are connected like our grid with nuclear power plants, and we again were like very worried about potential nuclear risks, but thanks God, now they don't target our energy, and these nuclear power plants, Khmelnytska and Rivnenska and the Pivdenno-Ukrainska, they are like more or less in safe situation. Yeah. So
and the others, they are already in the occupied zone.
No, only Zaporizhia nuclear power plant is occupied. Chernobyl nuclear power plant was occupied in 2022, but then Russians left Chernobyl nuclear power plant, especially because we read a lot of very crazy stories that Russian soldiers, they were in the Chernobyl nuclear power plant without equipment. Yes, they lived in the forest with the biggest threat of contamination. And again, we don't know what happened with dead people, but it's like when we read this news, we were like in the shock. Everyone knows that these forests are very dangerous. And the idea to occupy nuclear power plant, it is first time in history. How to do that? It's like, it's only for the blackmail, I think. And that's all. But many reasons, but like main reason is blackmail. But yeah, now we have only one occupied Zaporizhzhia nuclear power plant.
So there is a big problem to get electricity for the Ukrainian people at the moment?
No, now with electricity is the situation is normal. We have electricity, we don't have blackouts. And I read a statement from the Ministry of Energy that we, if Russians will not target our energy, we won't have blackouts. Because biggest blackouts were in 2023, in 2022-2023, the winter and during the winter when they targeted our energy, and previous summer, it was a hell, really. I lived in that time in the 22nd floor. I had to go walk with my in that moment 2 years old baby up and down a few times per day because they targeted our energy, and we lived didn't work, we didn't have water, a possibility to cook. So you can do nothing, only like black black building without anything. But now Russians are not targeting energy. I hope it will never happen again. And now we have a normal situation with electricity in Ukraine.
One of the one of the projects you had as a Ukrainian Greenpeace office was to build an electricity supply for a little hospital.
It's like, let's say we have, okay, I will tell the story from the beginning, that in 2022, in the response of full-scale invasion, Greenpeace, Germany and Greenpeace CE decided to support Ukraine. And it is how Green Reconstruction of Ukraine project appeared. And why Green Reconstruction? Because reconstruction, it is about future. It is about hope, it is about positivity, and we started to do green projects in Ukraine. Our first pilot project was in Horinka, Kiev region. This village Horinka was very close to the front line because Kiev region was occupied for a few months by Russians, and when they left, the personnel of this outpatient clinic, they started to think about reconstruction. And Greenpeace was looking for the first object to show how, why green reconstruction, it is an answer for Ukraine. And it was a match. And now we have first and like exclusive green outpatient clinic in Kiev region made by Greenpeace with heat pump and with the solar power station. And this project was really like a boom for Ukraine because it is very exclusive project. It is about modern technologies and people appreciated it a lot when we had such blackouts. Because this clinic stayed not only a reliable hospital, but a place where people could charge their phones, drink hot tea, speak with each other, have internet connection, to receive warm because of the heat pump. We know that this project inspired other municipalities and our government to multiply it. And it was a goal and we achieved it. Now we help, we are promoting green energy, we are promoting solar power stations, and we help municipalities to with grants, with knowledge, with trainings, with the educational trips to learn why green energy is a solution for Ukraine. Especially after these blackouts and energy attacks, people are convinced, more convinced, yeah, we still have the work to do, but they are more convinced that green energy is a solution. Because many, I think that mostly of Ukrainian regions, they met blackouts. They know how to live without electricity. I know that not only critical infrastructure, but private houses, they install more and more green solar power stations. It is very popular now in Ukraine. We like Greenpeace, we now dealing with few green projects. Especially we work with kindergartens, with schools, people in municipalities, especially kids, they are really happy with that, because when they have this like solar school or solar kindergarten, for them they say, oh wow, how cool we are, so modern, we don't afraid anything, wow, look at these panels, they are cool, and it inspires us a lot to do more.
You even made education courses for solar panel installation techniques for female?
Yes, for women. Why we decided to do that? The project was born at previous summer. When our senior campaigner, Polina Kaladyazhna, she had a conversation with energy companies, in parallel, we had the project, green project, to implement. And we heard from energy companies that there is a lack of installers of the solar power plants, because men are mostly now in the army, and there is a lack of professionals in technique. Okay, Polina said that why we cannot teach women to install solar power plant? Let's try. No one did it. We launched this project, launched this idea. And in 2024, we launched first course for 10 women to install solar power plants. And it was a huge success, because they not only showed and proved that they can install solar power plants, but they broke the stereotypes that it is a job just for men, and that women are like wheel for that. Yeah, no. Ukrainian women are very, very like strong and very inspireful with a lot of energy. After this course, we had different stories of women. For example, a lady who was in a maternity leave and she wanted to change her profession and show her son that she is a modern and cool mom. Other lady from Kharkiv, she found a job in one or a few weeks after the finishing the course. She started to work in energy company. So results were amazing, and in 2025, this year, we launched the course for 30 women from five regions of Ukraine, and we received a lot of applications, more than 200. We cannot receive thousands of applications because we have also strict rules that only women with technical education can do this, and women with strong motivation to develop green energy in Ukraine. And we are very inspired by our women For example, I like the story of Natalia from Mykolaiv. She was the main main energy director of the enterprise in her native city, Mykolaiv. But in 2022, it was bombed by Russians and the enterprise is destroyed. She had to change her job. She is a professional in energy, in electricity, but she couldn't work for her native enterprise. It was like a big tragedy for her personally, because she adores energy. And when she saw this course, she called to her husband. He's an electrician and he's now in the army. And she said, "Dear, I want to participate in this." He said, "Oh no, don't waste your time. It's impossible. Women cannot do that. No, no, no." And she has a very strong character. And she said, "No, I am sure that I can do this and I will prove it to you." And she called to, so now she is very happy. She saw that she can do this. And together with her husband, she inspired her husband to open their family business and install solar power plants. And one second, her big goal is to reconstruct her enterprise in a green way. And she wants to install big solar power station by her hand, like by her own, herself, in this enterprise, because she believes she is looking for opportunity how to reconstruct the enterprise. And it's an amazing story, because we see the impact not only for the life of one woman, yeah, but for families, for their friends, and they multiply this knowledge that women can install solar power plants. And when they also are deep in the technology, they can convince their environment around them that green reconstruction is a solution. So yeah, we are very glad with this project. I hope we will continue with that. I know that Greenpeace Ukraine inspired other bigger, richer international organizations to launch such courses for women too. We know it. We know it from international organizations that our example, our reform in this is inspiring all the country.
Very cool. Are there other projects how you want to have the reconstruction to become a green reconstruction?
So we started the work with municipalities, because municipalities during the full-scale invasion, they showed that they are very progressive. And we have decentralization in Ukraine, that every region has their own like budget power. And we started this showcase with municipalities. Next step is to work with government, convince them. We have few reports about the huge potential of solar energy for Ukraine. We have a report called Solar Marshall Plan for Ukraine, made by Greenpeace Germany and Berlin Economics, if I'm not mistaken. So we have a map with solution. We have a document with solutions, with the data, and we promote these reports. We always participate in URC Ukrainian Recovery Conference. It will be one next in next month in Rome. We are aimed to come, promote people to speak a lot. So we want to launch the advocacy in a national level, in a governmental level. And we know that it works, because now we have strong reputation, we have showcases, we have a real object that showed that they are reliable and nice. And again, I forgot to mention it when I told you about the environment, but Ukrainian, we see that government is open for cooperation, for advices from Greenpeace, because, for example, 1 month ago, we launched a campaign that Ukraine should sign Ocean Treaty document. And we had this advocacy in the parliament, in the government. And a few days ago, we received nice news that Ukraine announced that we will join Ocean Treaty. So I hope that next time the Ukrainian government will announce that green reconstruction, it is one of our priority, and we will work with green reconstruction more deeply. So I believe in that. In Greenpeace Ukraine, we have like three campaigns. Two bigs. First, it's a green reconstruction of Ukraine. Second is dedicated to nuclear safety and biodiversity. We test how will it work for Ukrainian society. Will they support us with this assignment of agreement with Ocean Treaty? So it works, and we see that Ukrainians, despite the war, are ready to support global environmental problems and global environmental issues, because first we don't feel only like Ukrainians, but we fight for many years to be a part of European society, and when we receive support, we also have to give the support. And I'm glad that we, our society, realize that we are also responsible to support our partners, our colleagues. And this is why Ocean Treaty was a big victory for us. So now we will think about new biodiversity campaign.
Trotz allem, das politische Journal.
Zu unserer heutigen Folge von Trotz allem begrüßt euch Jutta Matisek.
My name is Darina. I am a communication officer in Greenpeace Ukraine. Ukrainian.
One more question about nuclear safety. I remember that before the war, the Ukrainian government tried to get money from the European Union for prolonging the running times of the old nuclear power plants. Did they change their mind?
No, it is a challenge. Because there is a big lobby in the government to develop nuclear energy. We see it, and we are not agree with that, sure, because we see the alternative, yeah? We see how green energy works well in Ukraine. There was a scandal in Ukraine with the development of Khmelnytsky nuclear power plant. Civil society, international organizations, including us, environmental organizations, local environmental organizations in Ukraine, many members of parliament, and they stated against it. Especially because it was the idea to buy nuclear reactors from Bulgaria. It is a very long-term project. It is a very, very expensive project. It is a project connected closely to Russian nuclear business. So it was a big scandal in Ukraine, and Parliament agreed that they want to buy it. And now, if I'm not mistaken, it stopped because Bulgaria didn't want, they like changed their mind. They don't want to sell their these reactors first. And second, because I believe that there was an impact of the society, and we showed that society is ready to fight against the development of this nuclear power plant. It is a challenge. we think how to deal with that, because nuclear lobby in Ukraine is always stating that we survived blackouts after only thanks to the nuclear energy, and we have to develop nuclear energy because it's independence, because we can be free from Russia. But it is a lie, because Russians are the biggest bosses of nuclear energy, and Rosatom is developing nuclear energy, and it is again the big mistake. But because such topics are new for Ukrainians, and because Greenpeace now in Ukraine and our campaigners are in Ukraine, we see the potential to educate people, to explain them this. We expect some blamings, we expect some black PR, we have to be ready for that. But we think about how to deal with this challenge now. So, because again, there is a myth that nuclear energy is cheap. No, it is very expensive. And we have our Solar Marshall Plan, where we can like compare that solar power plant stations can be better solution for Ukraine, and not only for Ukraine, because one of the goals of the project Green Reconstruction of Ukraine from Greenpeace was to make Ukraine a showcase of green reconstruction. So we have challenges with this. They are not super relevant in that moment, but we know that we face them in future, and we are thinking about this now, how to deal with that. And I believe that we can fight with this.
In former times, Greenpeace had an office in Russia and it had to be closed down.
Because I didn't follow the situation with Russian office, to be honest. I knew that it is closed now, and that's all. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Are there any contacts with Russian environmental activists, or is this impossible at the moment?
We don't have such contacts. Mm-hmm. And yes, it's impossible at that moment, because because Russia launched this war, mm-hmm. and it's impossible now to for Ukrainians it is like a red line, mm-hmm. especially because when you suffer every night, mm-hmm. in your wardrobe or in the shelter because of the drones, it's impossible to think in this direction. So we are not ready now to think about this direction. We don't have any connections, any contacts, because we are focused on Ukraine, on Ukrainian society, on the development of cooperation with our colleagues in Europe, because we see future here in European family. That's why, it is now the situation, with that. Mm-hmm.
Maybe some outlook in the future. What do you wish for Ukraine?
I wish victory for Ukraine, because if Ukraine wins, it is about the wins of democracy, of freedom, freedom to be who you are, and be who you are. Yeah. I wish you for Ukraine to do not lose this energy for changes, to do not lose the inspiration for changes, because we fight for that now. it's complicated. It's, yeah, again, sensitive for me because a lot of like things about Ukraine. So I just want us to survive. I just want us to be a country with our territory, with our cities, with our people. I want my child to grow in a free, independent, green Ukraine with modern technologies, in European family. So it is the goal number one. So we think only about this. I want a war to be end. I don't know how and when it will be, but we have to live with the light in this tunnel. Because, again, if Greenpeace decided to start office in Ukraine, it for us it is a big credit of trust. So Greenpeace believes in Ukraine because to open the office during the war, it is a big, big step, big bravery. Greenpeace always was a brave organization, but we see the new colors of this bravery, yeah? We have to go... if people believe in us, we feel this big support from our colleagues, and it gives us inspiration to work and to achieve new goals and reconstruct Ukraine. Because again, reconstruction, it's about future, it is about light, it is about hope, we really see huge field how to work in reconstruction. I believe, again, we will achieve it. Green Ukraine.
One last question. If somebody wants to get information about your work in Ukraine, where can he or she look?
You can just Google Greenpeace Ukraine. We have a website. We have Facebook. We have Instagram. We'll be glad if you will stay our subscribers, we are always open for communication. We communicate in two languages, in Ukrainian and in English. Our website has Ukrainian and English version. Sure, and our colleagues, they also are taking information about our campaign, and they also share. I assume that in Greenpeace Austria soon you can see information, for example, about Solar Women project. Welcome to our website. The biggest information is here, Greenpeace Ukraine, and it's enough. So yeah. Thank you. Sorry again, because a lot of emotions here we speak, and
yes, I mean, it must be really hard for you. I really wonder how you are so strong.
Yeah, we don't have another choice. We don't have another choice, yeah, because we want to leave. You know, if you want to leave, you will look for the opportunity to leave. And that's all, yeah. And our work, it is what maintain us. And it is, you know, it's very special when after these drones attacks, after these hard nights, when you cannot sleep until 4 a.m., 3 a.m., sometimes like 5 a.m., you wake up, you drink your coffee, and you go to your job. Because you need this stable schedule. You need to see that life is ongoing. We have goals, we have plans, and we like very try to maintain the rhythm of the life. Yeah, but again, it's we have to build our life around these circumstances right now. Yeah, because we want to live and we want to be successful in our job. Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.